The reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and earth were finished in all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's good to be with the body this morning on a happy Sunday morning. To kick off our sermon series on Sabbath, you can see up there on that slide, we're going to be talking about rest throughout the month of July, and I think it's a perfect time to start thinking about that in the long, lazy days of summer. I was reading a study a few weeks ago, and it said that over 50% of Americans, in fact, 54% of Americans, don't take all of their vacation days if they're in a working job. And I thought, well, I don't know that I have that problem. I don't know why exactly they're not taking their vacation days, but I'm guessing it's not because they've taken too much vacation and they just don't want any more time off. No, in fact, the study said that employees often said the reason that they didn't take their vacation was because that they, A, didn't feel that they could get all of their work done in the time that they had, which might lead to job insecurity. Part two. And then finally, and maybe most importantly of all, they felt like if they took their time off, if they rested, they would miss out on promotions, on new job titles. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like more days than not, there's not enough hours in the day to get everything done. I often feel myself exhausted, running a constant stream of to-dos through my mind, stressed, worried about the next thing. I need to grab groceries for dinner, pick up the dry cleaning, get that project or projects done at work, weed the garden, take Iris to daycare. Oh, and if I have time, it would be nice if I met up with friends and had a social life. And let's not forget that I would love to spend some quiet time in prayer with God. Even if you're retired and don't think about a job, someone told me the other day, and I've heard it multiple times, they don't know what they did before, how they got everything done before retirement, because retirement itself is so busy. You might not have an 8-to-5 job or a job that pays a paycheck, but there's still work in life to be done, and I think we can all relate to that. Busy, busy, busy. Doing seems to define our corner of the world these days. We get our value, we get our prestige from being busy. She's a workhorse, he's a hard worker. She gets things done. How are you doing? Oh, I'm good, just busy. You know how it always is. If we aren't busy, we think we're lazy. We think people who don't work hard aren't successful. Industry is virtue. Laziness is a vice. And probably most harmful of all, we often find ourselves thinking that the poor are poor because they don't work hard, because they are lazy. We don't rest because we don't want to be seen as lazy. But let's take a look at today's scripture text, that brief text from Genesis. We will find that rest, in fact, is not laziness. In fact, it is essential to who we are as Christians. This is probably a relatively familiar text. God has just created the light and the dark, the waters and the dry land, the animals and the vegetation and humanity. God has worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, God stops. He pauses. His work is finished. He rests. Would any of us here say that God is lazy because he rested? It's interesting to me that God himself rests. He can't possibly be resting from being tired, right? God doesn't tire, I wouldn't think, but God still rests. God still practices and models Sabbath. If God takes Sabbath, it stands to reason that maybe we should practice Sabbath too. So then we have to ask the question, what is Sabbath? When I think of Sabbath, I think of rest. And like we see again up on that slide, that's the word that we have used to think about this sermon series. If you saw the video last week, we talked about rest, saw Sarah resting at Radnor Lake. We could all use some rest, and summer's usually a good time for that, with warm weather, hammocks, and beach vacations. But Sabbath is more than just rest. It's more than just crashing after a hectic week and vegging out in front of Netflix or watching TV. It's more than simply self-indulgently doing whatever we want for the weekend or doing whatever we want in retirement. It's not particularly a free day or weekend just to blow all the money that we earn throughout the week. No, true Sabbath is about slowing down and about recentering ourselves on God. It's about re-identifying ourselves as God's people when during the week we have been so identified with the busyness of the world. It's about enjoying and celebrating and connecting with God, who we so often lose sight of in the busyness of the day-to-day. It's about giving the stress, the worries, the burdens of our lives over to a mighty God. Let's jump over to Exodus chapter 5. Here we see something totally different than the God who rested on the seventh day. In this story, despite their own desires, the Hebrew people are working endlessly and feel disconnected with God. They are slaves in Egypt, and Pharaoh has them continuously, endlessly, essentially 24/7, making bricks on which Pharaoh will literally build the Egyptian empire. In chapter 5, Moses comes to Pharaoh after being called by God, and he asks the Hebrew people to let them go and observe a religious holiday. Moses asked Pharaoh if the Hebrew people can take Sabbath, if they can take the time to recenter themselves on God and rejuvenate in his spirit. But Pharaoh's response to Moses is cruel and oppressive. Instead of letting the Hebrew people break from their work, he makes their work even harder. Where before the Egyptians provided the straw for the Hebrew people to make their bricks, he says, now you have to collect all of the straw and make just as many bricks. Well, as predicted, it turns out that the Jews can't make as many bricks when they also have to gather the straw. And Pharaoh says, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. And he makes their work even harder. What stands out to me in this story is that the Hebrew people are only worth what they produce to the Egyptians. They are defined not by their love of God in the Egyptians' eyes, but by their work. And if they aren't working tirelessly, they are lazy. It's all about the profit, so work, work, work is what they do. Now, the Hebrew people didn't have much of a choice because they were slaves in Egypt. But for most part, here in Brentwood, if we endlessly work, it's because we are making the personal choice to do so instead of rest. We are personally choosing not to take Sabbath. And I totally get that because I am a recovering perfectionist who can get so bent on something being perfect that I will work, work, work until all I want to do is crash on the couch or in the bed. I might have hours left in the day when I get home, But I'm so tired, I don't have the energy left to spend time with my family or with God. There's something to be said about an honest day's work and working with passion, of course. I think that's certainly part of God's call. But there's a difference in doing this kind of passionate work. And so fully pouring yourself into the work of the world that you don't have time or energy left for the work of God. So I have to pause and ask, can you truly imagine a life where you are defined in part by Sabbath, by resting? Are you okay with being the person who doesn't look at social media or answer work emails one day a week? Can you imagine a future when your life isn't largely defined by your job or whatever work it is that you do in a worldly sense, but it is defined by God? Does it make you nervous to think that you can't check work email all day? If Sabbath is recentering ourselves on God, I think Sabbath is a call to calm the craziness of our lives by claiming that God is enough. When our jobs and life in general demand more, 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 we as Christians are called to stop and claim that in spite of this message, more, 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 we can say that God is enough. When I was saying that I can be a perfectionist, I'm not a perfectionist because God needs me to be perfect. I'm a perfectionist because I want you all, I want the people of the world to see me as perfect, to see the work that I'm doing and pat me on the back. So many times my work isn't defined by God, it's defined by the standards of the world. In Ecclesiastes, King Solomon talks about how he spends his life working, working, working so hard to amass all these riches, to buy these big houses, these big palaces, these huge gardens, and throw these huge, big, wild parties. We won't go into detail about what he says that he does at the parties. But he comes towards this realization at the end of his life that all of these bigger houses, these bigger gardens, these bigger parties are meaningless at the end of the day. It's a chasing after the wind, he says over and over in the book. When we base our life on what we can amass in our materials, when we work, 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 just so we can look worthy in the eyes of the world. Instead, he claims that we must be living for God. We must be living as Christians for Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says that we should not be people of worry or frenzy because God is enough. Look at the birds of the skies and the lilies of the field, he says. God provides for them. And if he provides for them, he will be enough. He will provide for us. We don't have to do everything ourselves, because God is with us and God is enough. In fact, when we run around all the time trying to do everything ourselves, taking on all the burdens of the world, we are denying that God is an all-powerful God, that God's grace is enough, that God is enough. Sabbath is about claiming this promise and truly resting in it. It is about taking the time to recenter ourselves on God by claiming that we are God's people and that God is enough when the world says we should work more so we can have bigger or buy more. After all, comparison is a thief of joy. In the creation story, if we would have read both of them in full today, we would see that God creates man to work, to tend to the gardens. Work isn't a bad thing, but as we will explore later in our Sabbath series, work should be about living out God's calling in our lives. Work, I imagine, in the garden is about taking joy in creation, about relishing in God's goodness, about tending to the Garden of Eden with a joyful heart. But after the fall, something happens. And if we skip forward a couple chapters from today's reading, we will see that after the fruit is eaten and Adam and Eve have fallen from God's grace, the work goes from this joyous celebration of who God is to this laborsome, toilsome work. It says that thistles grow up out of a dry, parched land. That harvest is no longer solely a celebration, that it is a pain. Work is a given. You may be caring for your kids at home. You may be running a small business or a large one. You may be cooking. You may be cleaning. You may be caring for others or teaching. Whatever it is, there will be work. In this passage, in later Genesis, guarantees us that the work of the world is going to be toilsome and stressful and overwhelming at times, which to me makes Sabbath all the more important. It may not work for you that one whole day a week is about slowing down and recentering ourselves on God, though certainly that would be great. But we have to start somewhere. So today, let's start with this. Let's start with living not for the work of the world, not for the job titles and the promotions, not for the bigger houses and the fancier cars. Let's start living in a way that all that we do is about centering ourselves on God. Let's start living in a way where rest is not laziness, but where rest is a part of who we are as Christians. Just as Jesus set time to be a part and center himself on God. Let's make that a part of who we are. A part of people not defined by the world, but by our faith in Christ. It's about saving time and energy to refocus on God each and every day. It's about making sure that our rest is about seeking rejuvenation from God's Spirit. Sabbath isn't just a day. It's a way of orienting our whole lives to be about God. It's about making sure that even though we have to work to put food on the table, we take the time to realize that God ultimately put that food on the table. When God was finished with creation, God didn't rest out of exhaustion. He didn't take a nap, watch Netflix on TV. But God paused to delight in creation, and he called it good. He celebrated it. And we too are called to practice this Sabbath in a way that moves us from toilsome labor to joyous, thankful celebration of who God is, of who Jesus Christ is in our lives. So this week, most of us have an extra holiday. We are fortunate in this country to have the freedom to practice religion without persecution. And we are free to make our own choices. We are free to choose whether we practice the Sabbath or not. Independence Day is, of course, not a Christian holiday, but it is a day that a lot of people will have the chance to pause. If you have it off or if you're retired, I challenge you. Make this day a day about reconnecting with God, about recentering your life on who God calls you to be and not on the world. Read scripture together as a family. Pray together. Make it a day about thinking about your priorities, and if your priorities are not on God, remind yourself that God, our Creator, wants you to come and rest in Him. We need rest. We need to be reminded that we are God's creation and God is enough. God can take care of all of our burdens. We can let those go. So take the time to refocus. If the most powerful being in the universe can take the day to rest, don't worry, we can too. As you take a deep breath each and every day, as you take a deep breath this 4th of July, as you relax and unwind, breathe in the Holy Spirit and let it fill every inch of your soul, that you too may know who God is, who Christ is, and who our Holy Spirit is calling you to be. Amen.